Greetings to the Path family. Our slogan at the Path is meeting you where you are. We invite you to follow, share, and check us out on social media. You may connect with us at any time, anywhere, on Facebook at The Path Church or Instagram and Twitter at Join the Path. Without further delay, enjoy this week's sermon.
So, honey, today we get to start a new series. It's called In Sickness and in Health. All right. And so I just thought about this concept of, you know, health issues have always, you know, been around. And even during weddings, people talk about this vow, like, hey, I'm going to stay committed to you in sickness and in health. And I just thought about how when we make a decision to follow Jesus, we also make vows to be with Jesus for the rest of our lives. Yeah. And we also know that it's going to be some hard times.
Yeah.
We don't know what all is going to happen, but we know that we're just going to be with Jesus forever. And that's a decision we made when we got married 15 years ago, that we were going to be together through the good and the bad, through thick and through thin. Mm-hmm. And whatever would come our way, we were going to just do it together. And so I just think it's important that during this time, we're able to, if we need to, even renew our commitment to Jesus, that we love him in sickness and in health.
That's great.
But all this talking about vows got me thinking about our wedding day. Over 15 years ago. 15 years, a month.
Wow, honey, you going there?
A few days.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I don't look a day over 15 years.
Oh, you right? Look more beautiful now than you did on your wedding day, honey.
The stress hasn't,
no,
you
are more beautiful today than you were when I met you.
Thank you, honey. That's 15 years.
15 years.
Speaking right there.
But, you know, what do you remember about our vows and our wedding day?
When I think about writing those vows, I think about in premarital counseling, the sister was like, listen, don't get up there and say you're never going to hurt him. You're always going to be, you know, thinking of him because you're going to be lying. Okay. So I remember two things I said. The first one, you know, was just sharing about how you were the guy that I never prayed for and how I didn't want you to take that the wrong way. But just saying, like, as I was praying for somebody, like, God knew I was going to need this. And so, like, I was so grateful that God knew more than I did.
Clean it up. Clean it up.
So that was that. And then the second part was I really wanted to share something in Spanish for my Puerto Rican husband. I'm not Puerto Rican. Just, you know, disclaimer.
Don't worry. She fooled me too.
If you had a question. So I wanted to speak the last few words in Spanish. And I was so nervous because your Puerto Rican father was in the audience. And your mom's, of course. And I was just like, Lord, I hope I don't blow this. And so I just remember like saying it really, you know, like really fast. But what now thinking about it, I'm like, man, that really communicated, you know, number one, how grateful I was for you. And then it also communicated like I was willing to get out of my comfort zone to encourage you, you know.
Yeah.
And help and encourage and love and, you know, do something I wasn't used to doing just to bring a smile on your face. Mm. So I know that then, you know, I was just trying to encourage you, but, you know.
Wow. So I'd like the comparison between having that heart for Jesus as well.
Amen.
And go the extra mile.
Yeah.
I like that. Well, I got to make a confession. I didn't know what you had said that day in Spain. No. I didn't know mi amor. That's what I know she said that. And that's all that matters. She said my love in Spanish. She said something else, but that was what I thought. But I was so grateful because I did feel like that was very, very thoughtful.
Amen.
Very, very thoughtful. And I remember the brothers told me the same thing. Do not make no promises that you can't keep. Mm-hmm. Don't make promises you can't keep. And but they did say, listen, you know, make a promise that you can keep, and that promise is, you know, to always be with you and to never leave you.
Amen.
And I said that pretty adamantly.
You said never, ever, ever, ever,
never,
ever,
ever, ever,
ever, ever leave you.
And it is my intention to keep that promise.
Amen.
To my wife.
I appreciate that intention.
Until
come
death
on,
do
intentionality.
Us part.
Yes.
So my vows, I actually wrote the night before in the hotel room on hotel stationery, but I was able to do that because they were on my heart already. And I had already been thinking about it. Actually, Before we even started dating, I remember studying out Song of Songs. I was a young Christian, and I wanted to see, okay, what's romance like in the Bible? Ooh, there's some stuff in there, y'all. And I got excited. I was like, wow. But when I read, I believe it's Song of Songs, chapter 5, I read about my sister, my bride. I'm like, if I ever marry you, I'm going to share this at our wedding. And as the Lord would have it, I was able to do so. And as you said, maybe preach the word a little bit during that time.
People preaching, y'all. I was like, this brother is like has a whole sermon for his vows. That should have been like things to come, Christina.
We should have a watch party of our wedding one day.
We should
do that. But yeah, it was amazing. Our wedding day was amazing, and I remember leaving there so excited about starting our life together, no matter what it would bring.
Yeah.
And when I think about Jesus, you know, when we are making a decision to follow Jesus, you know, it's almost a given that there's going to be hard times as well.
Yeah.
And Jesus goes out of his way to count the cost with us. Luke 14, Luke chapter 9, where he really tries to help us understand, like, there's going to be some really, really, really hard times. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to be with you, and I'm going to give you the strength to push through, to persevere. And I love the fact that, first and foremost, God makes a commitment to us.
Yeah.
He's always makes true on his vows. And we talked about that last week for Easter, how... Yeah. You know, that God perseveres with us, which helps us to persevere, grow in our character, and grow in our hope. And that's something that the disciples learned through Resurrection Sunday, the resurrection of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
But he calls us to have the same commitment to him. And I've heard it say that we can be weak as disciples, but not uncommitted. Mm-hmm. And no matter what happens, we can stay committed to Jesus. So I thought about Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10 is one of those times where Jesus is calling out, calling his disciples, his 12 disciples, and he's sending them out and he's giving them specific instructions about what to do when they go out to preach the word. In Matthew chapter 10, starting in verse 16, it says this, "Look, I am sending you out as sheep among wolves. So be as shrewd as snakes and as harmless as doves. But beware. For you will be handed over to the courts and will be flogged with whips in the synagogues. You will stand trial before governors and kings because you are my followers. But this will be your opportunity to tell the rulers and other unbelievers about me. When you are arrested, don't worry about how to respond or what to say. God will give you the right words at the right time.
Amen.
For it is not you who will be speaking. It will be the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of your Father, speaking through you. A brother will betray his brother to death. A father will betray his own child. And children will rebel against their parents and cause them to be killed. And all nations will hate you because you are my followers. But everyone who endures to the end will be saved."
Mm-hmm.
Jesus was helping them understand. I mean, if you were getting marching orders from Jesus and you heard this, I mean, how would you react?
Well, you had me at flogged.
Right.
You know, it's like, yeah, I said you have to preach the word. Da, da, da. You're going to be flogged. Like,
right.
I mean, it's overwhelming. It's like nerve wracking. And as I feel like women, we are very worrisome. So, you know, what's the plan, Jesus? And even in this, it's like, don't worry, I got you. And it's like, okay, you got me. So, but what's the plan? And he's like, I got you. And as a female, we like to know, well, how is this going to work out? And for him to just say, I'll be with you to the end. It's like, and he's like, and that should be good enough. You know, it's like, why it should be good enough. And it really, I mean, there's a battle within the mind. You know, it's like, we feel like we've been created to be these helpers, but it's, I think, for me, it's sometimes at certain points I like take it to the next level. As a helper, I must know everything so I can plan accordingly, etc. When God is like, no, I need you to trust me.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So, and I mean, if you just break this thing down, you will be flogged, beaten, just like Jesus was beaten, and you will be arrested.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because you are my followers. Like the very thing that you are doing, following me, is going to cause you to get flogged and arrested. But he says this will be an opportunity to preach the word to governors and kings, other officials that there may be no other way for you to get in front of them other than to be arrested. And so the question for us is, okay, when we see challenges, how do we see those challenges? Do we see them as opposition or do we see them as opportunity? And for Jesus, he was trying to help them understand that even through the hard times, there's going to be an opportunity to do his will and to preach his word.
I think it's also hard when you feel like you're doing the right thing and you get met with opposition. It's like, this will all happen because of you being in my name. And it's like, when we do the right thing, we're like, wait a minute, everything's supposed to work out. Yeah. It's not supposed to get worse if we do the right thing. So it's another, it's another way to, God, you got to shape my perspective about what I feel like challenge is. I want to, you know, it's an opportunity. It's not, oh, you're going the wrong way. It's stay the course and make the most of the opportunities.
And that's the hard part for me. When I'm doing wrong, I deserve to be beaten and flogged and arrested. I understand that. But right. when I'm trying to do the right thing, right. come on, God.
Yeah.
He goes on to say, but don't worry, because the Spirit is going to give you what you need. And that goes back to what you were talking about. Like, are we going to worry in those moments, or are we going to be secure in the fact that we have everything we need from God? And it's interesting that Jesus makes a vow to be with us even when things go really, really bad, to know that he's still there, like we talked about earlier. Now, all men will hate you. All people will hate you because of me, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. And I think here, this is Jesus saying, like, you're going to go through hard times. The key is standing firm to the end.
Yeah.
Anybody can start something. It's easy to start stuff. We start stuff all the time, but can we finish? Can we complete the task? And I mean, I don't want to be the guy that sacrifices and, goes through hard times in my relationship with God and then quits at the very end. Like, the goal is to finish the race no matter what we go through.
And no matter what people think about you.
Yeah.
It's like, does God, what God thinks about me, is that more important than, I mean, all men hating you, like, as a woman, I don't want anybody to hate me. You know, and you can say, oh, I don't care what people say about me.
Right.
But when push comes to shove, it's like, we don't want people to think negatively about us. So just accepting that as well is
and
a lot.
So, yeah, and that's the question for us. Will we be committed to Jesus in sickness and in health? For rich or for poor? For better or for worse? Till death do us part? The bottom line is that there's going to be different seasons in our lives all throughout our lives. Some that we choose, some that we don't choose. There are some that we choose where it's a new season, like when you start dating or when you get married, just a different in your relationship status. It's a new way to make Jesus Lord. When you have kids, that's a new way to make Jesus Lord that we've never done before, right? You may move to a different city, to a different church. You may have a different job, and we're constantly learning how to make Jesus Lord in new seasons of lives, of our lives. And sometimes that season, like it is now, is not something we chose. Like during this pandemic, this coronavirus, we didn't choose this, but we still have to figure out how to make Jesus Lord of our lives now. What does that look like now? It may look exactly the same for you, like as it was a month and a half ago, but for many of us, it's different.
Yeah.
And so my question for us all is, what does it mean to make Jesus Lord of our lives now and in this season? I think, when we struggle with that, when we struggle with a different season, when we struggle with the fact that we're not meeting at church together, right? I've heard people say, well, I don't do the Zoom thing, or people that just decided to make Jesus Lord and finally be committed to church. Now we can't go to church. And, the question becomes, were we converted to a structure or to a savior?
Right.
Because if we're committed to, and if we were committed, if we committed ourselves to a structure, if we were converted to a structure, then when that structure changes, then we're no longer disciples. But if we're converted to a savior, then we stay committed to him no matter what we go through in life. So
that's good. Yeah. Because life, I feel like the theme right now is take it a day at a time, and how are you doing? I'm just taking it a day at a time. And so you just never know what the day is going to bring, good news or bad news.
Yeah.
And so all I can do is set myself up in the mornings with time with God to prepare. And then as my day goes about, just try to make him Lord of each and every situation and stay connected to him. I think that's been my biggest thing.
Yeah, we're all going through different challenges, emotional challenges. And we are all trying to be very patient with one another, have a lot of grace on one another, because I don't know about you, I've never been in a pandemic before. And so one of the things that we've been talking about and preaching is, hey, don't judge another person's, you know, process, their grief, how they're responding. Mm-hmm. And we know that Jesus came full of grace, but he also came full of truth. Mm-hmm. And his expectation for us is still the same. And so while we want to lead with compassion, we also want to make sure that we're growing towards conviction during this time, as well as we figure out what is it going to look like for us to make Jesus Lord in our lives now during this time. One of the scriptures that has always convicted me is Proverbs chapter 1, verse 32. And the second part of this says, the complacency of fools will destroy them. The complacency of fools will destroy them. What does that mean? That means we have to keep growing. We can't get complacent in our relationship with God. Mm-hmm. We have to continue to strive to become more and more like Jesus and continue to mature. And that's what we've had to do, as in me and you, over this last month and a half. I know for me personally, I've had to really ask myself, how can I be like Jesus at home? Because I'm spending more time than ever at home. How can I be like Jesus in my relationship with my wife? How can I be like Jesus in my relationship with my children? I need to be like Jesus. I can't, I'm going to grieve. I'm going to have good days and bad days, but I can't make excuses as to why I'm not striving to be like Jesus. And so for me, being at home means that I've had to give more to my kids than ever before. And that's not easy. You know, we talked about that in Couples in Quarantine. Couples in Quarantine video, our survival kit video that we just posted. And check that out. I mean, we talked about a lot of this and share that. We'd love to help as many couples as possible and families to how to work through all that. And shout out to my boy Chase for shooting that and editing that. Did a great job. But, you know, that's the reality of it, is just learning how to make Jesus Lord at home. And then, well, I think we were doing a great job of really loving our children like Jesus would. Then we noticed that we weren't as connected as we needed to be. And so then the question became, well, how do we make Jesus Lord in our relationship to make sure that we are connecting and prioritizing this relationship over everything else other than our relationship with God? Mm-hmm. And so that's been a learning curve as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I definitely... At home, you know, what does it look like for Jesus to be Lord? You know, when I think about the term in sickness and in health, I think of sickness to me in those vows means when it's a time of uncertainty, when it's a time of more giving than normal, when it's a time of being faithful, you know, hopeful.
I'm sick.
Oh my gosh, y'all. When Angel is sick.
I don't know about y'all. I mean, I don't know. I think I've gone from wanting to be alone to wanting to check up on me. I've changed over the years.
He has definitely changed. Now, he went from, I'll be good, just leave me alone, to, can I get this? Can I get that? Can you just sit with me? So it requires more giving. And so I feel like in this time, it just requires more of me. And so, you know, an example of that is, you know, now I live with, you know, three other people, and now everybody's hungry all the time. And they don't just want a muffin, a piece of toast, a sandwich. They want fried egg sandwiches. What are we having for dinner? What are we having for lunch? What are we having for snacks? And, you know, I'm like, listen, okay, do we need a 3-course meal for every meal? And look, they all want something different.
The ribs were bomb, though, honey. The ribs were amazing this past week. She's doing great.
Jesus, take the wheel. So it's just requiring more of me to give, I guess, for me at home right now with making Jesus Lord. And, you know, not doing that with a, you know, a bad attitude, but just giving, serving. You know, Angel had to kind of sit me down and kind of share some things. And it was a little hard to hear about, you know, some things I had said or done or weren't, what wasn't doing. And, you know, I'm like, well, gosh, yeah, we're on kind of week four, you know, week five. And so, yeah, it was just, you know, I really had to, okay, I got to repent. I got to change. I got to grow. I got to be intentional, you know.
But that's what I love about my wife. My wife always responds. She's humble. It may take her a little bit, but she always responds. And I feel so encouraged by the way you have responded. And it's obvious when you decide to be intentional and in our relationship. And I appreciate that so much. So thank you so much. And we've had some great couples to learn from over the years. And, we got to remember less and remember less. And Jean during this time, and they taught us so much over the years about how to love each other during all types of different seasons.
I still remember my favorite piece of advice from them from a marriage devotional. Les said, if my wife isn't doing what she needs to do, then that's on me. Mm-hmm. That's my fault. And then Jean said she had resolved to treat Les, you know, with love, care, encouragement every day, no matter how he treated her. And I remember hearing those words and I was like, sister, like no matter how he treats me. But it was such a biblical view towards marriage that I just really appreciated and that has stuck with me over the years. So
what does it look like for you to make Jesus Lord at home? You may be home alone. You may have more family members. You may be spending more time or less time at home. I don't know, but you need to figure that out for yourself. Another area is, how do we make Jesus Lord of our time during this time? Mm-hmm. Some people have more time. Some people have less time. Mm-hmm. Some people are being asked to do different things for different times. At their jobs may look a little different with how we spend our time. And so the question becomes, how do we be like Jesus and how do we make him master of our time where he calls the shots? Mm-hmm. And for some of us, we may really have to evaluate how we're spending our time and making sure that we are, number one, investing in our relationship with God. Mm-hmm. That if you are home, that you are still and you don't have to go to work physically, that, hey, that you're not just getting out of bed and logging on and not spending time with God, that we are prioritizing our time with God and seeing our need for him in this time. So what do we need to prioritize with our time in order to invest in our relationship with God?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think about just how do I want to look back on this time? How did I use it? And I want to say I didn't just spend time with God in the morning. I really connected with him throughout my day because I'm praying to lead this time changed. And for me, that means God's got to be all encompassing, not fitting in. You know, I want this to be a time of family. I want my husband to feel like I was intentional with him. I want to share about the Bible studies I got to do via Zoom and watching God work. You know, those are like the types of things that I use my resources to invest in relationships, to, you know, build up God's kingdom. Like those are the things I want to share about looking back on this time.
Yeah. And time is so valuable. We can never get it back. And so it's important for us to use it intentionally and be deliberate about how we're spending the time. Another thing is making Jesus Lord of our relationships during this time. So we talked about our relationship, but how are we doing making Jesus Lord of our relationships with our brothers and sisters? So I know one of the challenges has been transitioning to virtual connections, right? Mm-hmm. And some of us transitioned really well. Some of us may have already been used to it. Some of us may have been struggling with it. Mm-hmm. And so the question becomes, am I giving in those Zoom meetings, or am I just, I'm on there, but I'm doing this and I'm doing that, and I'm not really giving my attention to my brothers and sisters during this time? Something that you can't really do when you're face to face, right? And so really, how we even pay attention and give during our Zoom meetings, during our Facebook lives, different things like that, really shows our heart. Are we going to really give to one another, or are we just going to give them our leftovers? And just say, well, I'm listening, but I'm going to be over here working, or I'm going to be doing other things, playing video games, or I'll just put it on while I'm going to get something to eat, as opposed to, no, I'm going to take this time. I don't have to travel to get there. It's going to be an hour, or whatever it is, to really connect with my brothers and sisters. And I think that's really important in how we make Jesus Lord of our relationships.
Yeah, I think also it's a great time to evaluate relationships. Like, do you have that spiritual squad? You know, whether you're inside the Path family, outside of the Path family, we would love to connect with you. We try to do our best to love God and love each other and help one another. So, but, you know, we'd love to have you connect with us. But just an opportunity to evaluate, how's it going with my spiritual squad? And the women had an awesome devo about that on Saturday. You know, just how are we doing connecting? And if I don't have that squad, let me start praying about it. Let me get connected to the Path family, and just make the most of this time where I can really build on having a family of my own, a spiritual squad of my own.
Yeah, and I think even for my single brothers and sisters, you know, you may be feeling lonely during this time. You may be wanting companionship during this time. Are you dropping, are you kind of letting your guard down and having conversations or virtual meetups or FaceTimes? Anybody want a FaceTime? That you should not be having.
Uh-oh.
Right? And so there's all types of sin that we can create through technology. And so the question is, are we escaping into that? Are we letting wanting people that we're attracted to, that we want attention from, we want them to meet those needs as opposed to going to God and doing it in a healthy way with relationships that are healthy. And so even romantically, we got to think about, okay, how do we make Jesus Lord during this time? Because it's very easy to drop our guard, especially if we're alone, especially if we may not have the accountability, especially if we're not getting the encouragement we were. And you know, I heard that extroverts were doing really good. Introverts were actually doing better during this time than extroverts, because it's giving them a chance to recharge, and then they give for a little bit, and then they're able to recharge. And extroverts, we're not getting that that personal connection that we need to recharge, so it may be a little harder. But wherever you are, evaluate that. Mm-hmm. How am I doing making Jesus Lord of my relationships during this time? And then how are we doing making Jesus Lord of our finances? How are we doing making Jesus Lord of our finances? That's something hard to talk about right now. As a church, as a pastor, I'm scared to talk about that sometimes. I'm like, man, do I call people to still give to God during this time? And there's not a lot of financial security. Do I do that? I mean, is that going to be okay? I don't want to be seen in a way where I'm money hungry, or we're trying to control people or anything like that, because it's so sensitive. And it's just stuff that goes through my mind. But I don't have to, as I thought about it, prayed about it, I don't really have to worry about that, because God's standard is clear in the Bible. And if we're following God, we're following the scriptures, then we're still going to be giving to God. We're doing the best we can to be sacrificial and give. And the question is, I think, is how do we give in faith right now? And that's a question we even have to answer, because we got our stimulus check. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. And when we got our stimulus check, my wife walked into the room and said, I have good news and I have a question. And I said, okay, give me the good news. Good news, we got a check. Question is, how much of it do we want to give back to God? And I was grateful, because I hadn't even thought about that. I'm like, man, I'm great. I'm getting this check. But having somebody, man, that's why she is my better half. And it was just helpful to think through that and come up with a plan and say, okay, now where we are now, how do we want to move forward with our special contribution to give into the Vision Fund, to give to the Next Gen Fund, the different giving goals that we had. And we got to have a little powwow to just talk about that. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, I love that, because we balance each other out with that. Typically, when he wants to give some, I'll be like, huh? And then when I want to give something, he'll be like, huh? But we get to come back together, you know, I don't know, when in doubt, give more, you know, like we've totally, over the years, we've seen God bless our giving. We've seen the scripture, you reap what you sow, lived out again and again and again. And so it's like, it's another opportunity to trust God in another stage of our life. And so it's great to have a partner that's like on the same page as far as like, we're going to make sure we give, and we can, and let's pray about it, and let's get input about it. I was so encouraged to get input from a sister this week saying, you know, we need some help. We're thinking about this with our stimulus check. What do you think? You know, which I thought was really
great. Multiple people have been getting advice about their finances, which is really, really good. We don't have to feel like we have to figure it all out on our own. That's why we have God. We can be praying about it. We can be getting advice about it. I like the scripture earlier in Matthew chapter 10. Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 8. And he says, freely you have received, freely give. And then he goes on to say, do not take along any gold or silver or copper in your belts. Take no bag for the journey or extra tunic or sandals or a staff, for the worker is worth his keep. And so that's challenging, because as he was sending out his disciples, he's like, listen, don't take any of this. I want you to trust in me. Like, even though you got the money, you can't bring the money. Because I want you to trust in me, and I want you to grow in your faith along the way. And so this is something we have to wrestle with. But I love that. Freely you have received, so freely give. And I know for us, God has given us so much. And so really, we want to have that same heart and that same attitude as we're given to God, as we're given to nonprofits. We've given nonprofits during this time, to different people, to meet different needs, whatever it may be. So be praying about how God wants you to use your money, because ultimately it's about trusting God. What that doesn't mean is to be unwise about it, right? It doesn't mean to be emotional about your giving. It doesn't mean to ever feel like you're being manipulated into giving. And that's never going to be our heart to do that. And so just really be mindful, get advice, and have a spiritual mindset. But understand that God's standard is the same. When we have and when we don't have.
Yeah.
I think one of the things, you know, we've been discussing is, you know, in our westernized culture, we talk so much about the blessings that we have, and that even in our sacrifice, we're given because of the blessings. Like, man, we've been given so much. Let's just give. And even Jesus says, freely give, freely you have received, freely give. But it's not so much about how much you have received. It's that we've received freely. And so not being tied down to in greed, right? But God doesn't owe us anything else. Doesn't owe us anything else. He's already given us Jesus.
Yeah.
And we've committed our lives to Jesus because of that. So then I think our character and our faith is being challenged now. When there's less security, will we still have the same conviction?
Yeah.
When there may be less blessings during this time, will we still have the same conviction? And I'm grateful that God has protected us as a church for the most part. Mm-hmm. And we want to be in a position to be able to help our brothers and sisters in the church, as the scriptures talk about. Whatever needs came up, the church was able to meet those needs. And also, as God spares us and blesses us, then we're able to help the community as well. And that really is our goal. So please be praying about those areas of your life. I want to leave you with two questions. Number one, in what ways have you gotten complacent? The complacency of fools will destroy them. So number one, in what ways have you gotten complacent? And number two, in what ways can you be more like Jesus? Amen. And so take some time this week to just evaluate yourself, and kind of let's recommit ourselves to discipleship, to following Jesus in sickness and in health. And at this time, we're going to go ahead and remember Jesus as we take communion. So we'll pray, and then we'll wrap things up here. So thank you so much for being with us today. Let's pray. Father God, we love you so much, and we're so grateful for Jesus. Yeah. Thank you so much for an example of you walking this earth with flesh and bones, God, with flesh and bones, and showing us how to live. And thank you so much for the fact that Jesus didn't hold any punches. He just laid it out. He lays it out for us as to what this life is going to be like. And yet he makes it clear that you are still the answer.
Yeah.
You are still the answer, that no matter what we're going through, the standard and the expectation is still the same, because you stay committed to us, God. And we thank you so much for Jesus dying on the cross. We thank you so much for his death, burial, and resurrection. Mm-hmm. As we remember Jesus right now, God, as we remember his body that was broken, as we remember the blood that was shed, please, God, give us a sense of gratitude for that, that we don't, if we don't get anything else from you, God, that that will be enough, Lord God, and that we want to please you in every aspect of our lives, in our homes, in our relationships, with our time, with our money, God. We want to walk by faith and not by sight during this time. God, we want you to look down on us and be pleased to see your children keep our eyes on you, Lord God, and continue to be who we need to be for you, God. And please help us to be a light for others, a source of hope, a source of inspiration, so that others may know you as well, Lord God. Be with our time of communion. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you all so much. We will see you next time.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. New sermons are uploaded each Monday morning. Simply search The Path Church Atlanta in iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting service. Additionally, we greatly appreciate your feedback on iTunes. If you would like to learn more about The Path, we encourage you to visit www.thepath.church. We hope to fellowship with you soon.